you know what? I am thankful for you. And it's just appropriate to say that because what we're going to talk about today. So if you have your Bibles and would turn to the book of Luke, chapter 17, we're going to read verses 12 through 19. And it says, "And as he being Jesus, entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go, show yourselves unto the priest.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger or this foreigner.' And he said unto him," or Jesus said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." This morning, I'm going to talk for a little while about remember, thank you. Remember, thank you. And you might be seated. One of the things that we do very early in a child's life is we teach them those two very, very, very important words, thank you. As soon as they can form a sentence and get the idea and the understanding of it, when somebody gives them something or you give them something, you ask them, now what do you say? Thank you. And that is what they learn to say. And you all obviously learned it at a very young age. And we do that because what we don't want to have are children who grow into teenagers who become adults who are ungrateful. Because in society, to be an ungrateful person, a person who has no gratitude, a person that just expects people to give them what they want, how are they perceived in society? Are they people that you want to be around, or are they entitled people that you would rather walk away from? And so we know this, and so we train up a child in the way they should go, and we hope that it sticks, and we hope that when you send them off to their friend's house for the first time, and they go there for dinner, and they put their the parents put the plate of food in front of them, they say those two words, and they represent you well, and they show that as parents you have done a good job, and they say to their friend's parents, thank you. We do that because thank you is so very, very important. And so we find our story really is built around this moment of a thank you to our Jesus. Again, today I want you to remember thank you. Does anybody have childhood memories where you remember your parents saying that to you? Now, what do you say? Thank you. And then they did they wait to give it to you until after you said the words? Or did they give it to you before you said the words? I think in the beginning, it was, now what do you say? And then they give it to you, and then, or you say thank you, and then they give it to you. Then, but as you learn this, eventually they give it to you, and then they say, now what do you say? And then it just becomes habit. And I would say today that we have got to remember the habit of thank you to our Lord. We find that Jesus, he actually, in verse 18, he expressed concern when he said, was no one found returned to give praise except for this foreigner, this stranger? There were 10 of you, and all of you were cleansed, and all of you are healed, but only one shows up. So where are the rest of you? Where are the other 9 to give thanks for what I have just done? Now you recognize we know from reading our scripture that this one who returned was a Samaritan who technically was a foreigner, not a part of God's chosen people. And so we see that Jesus is saying, my own children, my own chosen people did not come and tell me thank you, but this stranger came and told me thank you. I'm sure as the God of the chosen people, it caused him, like most parents, when you hear your child don't not say thank you when they receive something, just a little bit of a, where have I gone wrong? What have I done so bad in this life that my children can't even say thank you to something so simple? It was fun when we were handing out popsicles at the parade. How many of you handed out a popsicle to a kid at the parade? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What was so fun was when you would go up and give them a popsicle, the parents would say, now what do you say? And most of the kids got it right. There were a couple that they said that they didn't say nothing. They said, where's the scissors? I need it cut off. I'm not telling you thank you until I can suck on this thing and get the juice out of there. But as kids we learn this. And as spiritual children, we need to learn this also. And we find that Jesus, in this moment, he sees an opportunity to do some teaching as he did so many times. And it's interesting that he specifically calls out there were 9 Jews and there was 1 Samaritan. Now, most of us in here, we know the clash that took place between the Jews and the Samaritans. Of course, the Jews were God's chosen people, but the Samaritans at one time were a part of his chosen people. But during captivity, those that were left behind in the nation of Israel, they began to intermarry with the cultures around them, and they became tainted, so that when God's chosen people return home, they find their previous family members, their previous neighbors had married and tainted their precious culture, this God's chosen people, and allowed foreign blood to intermingle with them. So when the Jews came back, they saw these folks and called them Samaritans because they were not full-blooded Jews. They were actually worse than a Gentile. They considered them dogs, and so it's no wonder that there was no love lost between these two groups. They often had battles and butted heads against one another, and they often looked down at the others. And we can read in scriptures that the Jews went to great lengths to avoid any interaction with them because they felt like they were so unworthy, because they had the opportunity to be God's chosen people, and they chose not to hold on to that wonderful privilege. You see, even though they had common roots in their heritage, they refused to feel as if they had anything in common. You see, these people really, what they when they came back and they found their brothers and their sisters and their neighbors and all of those who had been tainted, instead of showing them mercy and saying, hey, let's figure out how we can bring you back into the fold and how we can make you a part of God's chosen people, they decided to push them away and say, you're not worthy. Now, I would say today that we have got to be careful in our walk with God, because what happens is the more we become like him, the more we see our difference from us to the people in the world. And if we're not careful, we can get an idea that I am saved and you are not, so I am better than you. And if we're careful, we won't go to those cities, or we will avoid people because we think they're just beyond the reach of being God's chosen person. Now, I don't think in here we're really guilty of that, but what I'm saying is we've got to be cautious, and we've got to make sure that we don't get a little bit of pride and arrogance and haughtiness in our favor with the Lord, because he loves us and we've become a part of his family. You see, but there was some things that brought these nine Jews and this one Samaritan together, because really, it's kind of an odd thing for this one Samaritan to hang out with nine Jews. It wasn't a normal occurrence, but yet we find that it happens. We find that the number one reason that they were together was because they shared a common affliction. They were going through the same thing at the same time in life, and so they, you know, birds of a feather, they flock together, and so all of the lepers, they get together, and they allow this Samaritan to come and join in with them. It's so sad that it took a life threatening illness to allow these nine Jews to let this leper into their midst. All of a sudden, now, okay, I guess you can join and be a part of our crew, our group, and hang out with us. You see, these men, these nine Jews and this one Gentile, they had a terrible life ahead of them until the moment that they would die from this disease. And in Leviticus, we see in Leviticus chapter 13 just a little telling of what their life was like when they were found to have leprosy and how they would have to live the rest of their life. And in verse 45, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, 'Unclean, unclean,' and all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled." You're unclean, you're defiled. You don't have any value in your life. "He is unclean, he shall dwell alone, without the camp shall be his habitation." A sad, lonely life that they would live together. Verse 12 says that these 10 lepers, they had to stand at a distance before they could cry out to the Lord. They were not allowed to hang out with their friends and family like they used to. And so in order to feel like they belonged, they took this group of 10 men and they came together to create a small community to where they could have some interaction and have some friendship and have someone that they could have relationship with, even if they were a Samaritan. What a sad, hard existence. But it was that sad, hard existence, that this hard life of isolation and loneliness, that drew these men together. They were together because they were in affliction in their life. Another reason they were together was because they could not fix themselves. There was no fix for them, and so they had nowhere else to go except for to others who were like them. And they all needed a healing in their life. They all needed the same thing. It's why in verse 13 you read that they all cried out together, "Lord, have mercy on us." It was a unified voice. It was a voice that they cried out. They were together. They were bound with one another. They all needed the same thing. Jesus, have mercy on us. Now, mind you, they had to be away from them. There was a crowd around Jesus. There's 10 of these men, and Jesus is walking. They can't get close. So I'm sure they didn't just say, Jesus, have mercy on us. No, they collectively took their voices together and said, Jesus, have mercy on us. You see, they knew that their voices together had a much greater chance of being heard than alone. One of the things that the enemy tries so hard to do in our life is when we go through difficulties, when we're going through hard seasons, when something is coming into your life, he wants you to isolate yourself from the rest of the group. And so as we struggle, as we go through hard and difficult times, we start to feel like we're alone. We start to feel like maybe we're worthless, or why am I going through this? And so instead of drawing closer to one another, often we isolate ourselves, which just makes us more vulnerable, because what I know is that I need you and that you need me, and together, if one of us falls, we can pick the other one up. But if you're by yourself and you fall, you have to lean upon your own strength. And so they cry out together, these 10 unlikely companions. And that's when something wonderful happens. Jesus, they cry out, and his response to them is simply, go show yourselves to the priests. I have to wonder in my mind, the scene is this, he's with the group, and the lepers were way back like in the pew with Dan, and they're screaming from back there, and they're saying, have mercy on us. And he just simply says, go show yourself to the priest. Just go show yourself to the priest. And what do they do in that moment? They said, hey, he told us to go show ourselves to the priest. Let's go show ourselves to the priest. I love that he tells all of them to go. Now, there were 10 of them, right? 9 of them were Jews. One of them wasn't. One of them was a Samaritan. You know what that Samaritan could not do? Go to the priest. But Jesus says, all y'all go to the priest. You know why I think he was saying that? Because he was trying to get it through the priest's head again that he was here for everybody. The same that these other guys got healed, these God's chosen people. Guess who else got healed? This Samaritan. Oh my word, what do we do with that? I see Jesus just being like, yeah, here's another chance. Not only to poke the bear, but to try to get them to understand that he was here for everyone. And the scripture says, as they went, they were cleansed. This tells me that they trusted his words. Because they knew. They knew that, all right, the only reason we would be going to the priest is because the law says to go show your priest when you are healed. So I don't see it right yet, but he said, do it. I'm going to obey him because I trust him, and they take a step. And I don't know what that looked like. I don't know. The more steps they took, the more body parts they got back. But as they're going, the nose returns. And wouldn't that be a strange feeling? A nose that was not there now is, and all of a sudden you can smell again. Your olfactory nerves kick in, and you're like, I smell you. He's by lepers in torn clothes. They've been living pretty bad. But something told them we are being cleansed in that moment. Trust and obey. So even though these 9 Jews and 1 Samaritan, they had so many common experiences that had pulled them together and allowed those generations of pride and prejudice to be broken down, we find that something separates them again. We read about the separation in verse 15 and 16. It says, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." I love that Luke says that, because Luke, you got to understand, Luke was a Gentile, and Luke is writing the book of Luke and the book of Acts. It is written a Gentile. So he's telling this story, and he says there's a foreigner. And Luke, at this point, it's kind of like the aha moment. The 10 men get healed, yes, even the foreigner. And one of them comes back, and he's holding them in suspense. And he says, and he falls at Jesus' feet, and he gives him glory. And guess who it was? It was the Samaritan. It was the Gentile. It was the one that should not have went back to Jesus. You see, in his thankfulness, the Samaritan, he turns back to Jesus. It separates him from the rest, who, now they were all cleansed, and they were touched by Jesus. They were touched by the hand of their healing creator, and they had one thing in mind. I need to go get validated, because I want to go see my family. I want to go visit people. I want to get my life back. But the Samaritan, he takes some steps. He realizes he's whole, and I don't think he turned and said, "Okay, I get. I probably should go tell him thank you." I think he turned, and when you read it says he fell at his. When you read those words, it means he threw himself at his feet. He couldn't wait to get back to the one who had touched him and who had healed him in order to be able to give him glory and to do one simple thing, to say thank you. This powerful moment takes place in his life, and it's a powerful lesson for us to learn. It's those two simple words, thank you. But those two simple words just aren't for someone here on this earth that gives you something and you're grateful for it and you say, hey, thank you for that. No, these words thank you are so important when it comes to our relationship with our Father in heaven. He desires those words from us. We can never lose sight of offering thanks to our Savior. We can't take what He does in our life for granted. Now it's not just having an attitude of gratitude or being thankful. That is important, and we have to have that, because without that you won't do what is important. And that is to put action to your gratitude, action to your thankfulness. You see, and as we're going to find, having gratitude and being thankful, it does count for something, and it does matter. But when you put it into action, it changes things. Because I guarantee that those other nine, they were thankful for what Jesus had just done for them. They were thankful that they got their nose back, their toes back, their ears back. They were excited, and they wanted to go to the priest to be found to be clean. But only one of them took that feeling of gratitude and thankfulness and moved it into the action of a thank you. That feeling of thankfulness, again, when we put it into action, it is so powerful. And if you believe that God made us, that He is your creator, then you have to believe that as your creator, as our creator, He knows the best way to make us run. He knows the best things in our life that make us run at our optimum level. And I love it when knowledge and science catches up to the Word of God. So I did some research and some study on being thankful and on offering thanks. Not just having a thankful attitude or a grateful attitude, but actually the process of saying thank you, of expressing thankfulness to someone through action. And right now we find there, it's going on. Even yet today, there are studies. There are numerous clinical studies, and there's research, there's trials, and there's tests that are happening to find out what happens when somebody puts thankfulness into action. And here is what science has found so far. When you express thanksgiving, you've got a thankful heart. And they, even just being thankful and having gratitude helps this. But when you put it into action, it just explodes, according to research. One of the things that happens, you get more energy. Anybody in here need more energy?
Yeah.
You get more energy. You know, anybody in here have high blood pressure? You don't have to raise your hand. But if you do, being grateful and thankful, they found it reduces high blood pressure. Expressing it does incredible things to your body. You know the other thing that it does? It improves your immune system. You're able to fight off diseases better when you express gratefulness and thankfulness, and you say, I'm thankful for what you have done for me. And this, to me, is one of the best things. And I think this is why God put it in my heart a couple years ago to start doing my journaling of what I'm thankful for every day right before I go to bed. It helps you sleep better. Anybody in here need better sleep? More sleep? Sounder sleep? Any sleep? I'm telling you, express thankfulness. Tell people thank you. Be gracious and thankful for what people have done. It also reduces inflammation in your body. It's incredible the things that they are finding that just going to someone and saying, you know what? And this is legit. I am so glad you're here today. It made my day. 2 weeks in a row, folks. All right, now, I told her that, and I meant every word of it, but I just got more energy. My immune system just got better. What I'm trying to say is Jesus knew the power of being thankful, expressing thanksgiving. One of the craziest things, this is just really neat. Using an fMRI, which is a functional MRI, which basically is just an MRI that they can use while you are doing a task, and so they can track what's happening inside of your brain while you're doing that task, and they can see how the neurons in your brain are firing. And what they found was just simply writing a letitude. Hey, it's not what Bishop said in Sunday school, so. Anyways, I'm going to read this so I don't say that again. It's not just writing a gratitude letter. Now you see where it came from. It doesn't even matter if you send it. But just the process of writing it, when they do a test with an fMRI, they find that the brain area associated with well-being for your body, that tells your body to do all the good stuff, it increases in activity. And the amygdala, that part that's the fight or flight that creates anxiety and fear, you know what happens in that region of your brain? It leaves. When you are expressing gratitude, fear and anxiety leaves your mind. It's incredible what happens. And what they found is neural pathways associated with negative thinking over time, when you do this, they weaken, while those tied with joy, empathy, and connection to others grow stronger. It's just writing a letter. You don't even have to send it. Just writing it and expressing it, it shows that gratitude. Now imagine if you send it and then that person comes back and tells you, thank you for the letter, how much more it's going to impact your brain and your mind and your life. It's so incredibly powerful. Look at your neighbor and say, thank you. And they just said, for what? For being you. Just for being you. You see, in general, thankfulness, it's powerful. And if you like this kind of stuff and you're nerdy about this kind of stuff, just go out and do it. It's incredible what they're finding in this simple field of study. But when thankfulness takes action in our lives as a thank you, spiritually, it becomes a spiritual superpower. This is one of the things that if I could send you home with a great weapon against the enemy, a great tool to put in your toolbox that can help you in your everyday walk with Jesus, this is one of them. It's just simply thank you. You see, it doesn't just touch our physical bodies. Its real power comes into play when we specifically offer thanks to our Creator. There is something powerful that happens in that moment. We see it in the results of that Samaritan when he is touched. We find the very first thing that happens, because he was thankful and he put that thankfulness into action, was he was able to go and fall at Jesus' feet. And number one, he should never have been able to touch any other human being because he had leprosy, but he was able to touch his Creator, his healer, and in just a few moments, his Redeemer and Savior. You see, thanksgiving, when that thankfulness in our minds turns to a true thanking of Him, an expression of thankfulness to Him, it allows you to touch Him in a different way than even praise. It's different. Praise allows us to touch Him in wonderful ways and giving Him glory, but there's something special about touching Him in thanksgiving. I would say today, if you want a touch of Jesus in your life and in your situation, you know what you do? Find some time and just sit with Him and say, thank you. We did a study on prayer that Verbal Bean did several years ago, and he talked about four types of prayer. And he said, sometimes there's these four types, and sometimes all you need to do is just pray one of these types of prayer. And I would say, and he said in there, and I would say we need to do this, one of the types of prayer he said you should just spend your whole time in prayer doing is just telling the Lord thank you. I'm thinking about this, it makes so much sense why Verbal Bean would say there needs to be some entire time of your prayer life just dedicated to thank you. Not to let the cat out of the bag, and maybe I'll just get done early and I just hit it all at once. But when you're going through something in life, don't feel like you always have to. He knows what your problem is. He knows your family situation. He knows what you want to have happen. Don't beg Him for it. Don't walk up to Him and say, Lord, I love you, but here's what I need, and I'm so desperate for it. And then the next day, Lord, I'm so desperate for this. I need you to change. You know what you should do? Lord, I need you to touch it. And I just want to tell you, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what you've done in my past. I'm I'm thankful for the way you've touched my family. I'm thankful for your provision. I'm thankful for the times you've touched my life. I'm thankful for healing. I'm thankful for all of the things you've done in my life before. I need you to touch this. But Lord, what I know is if I'm just thankful to you for all you are to me, I know your response is a touch in my life. We've got to be thankful. We must be thankful to him. And because of that thankful, we see it in verse 19. Jesus says, go on your way. You have been made whole. The word whole here is the same word that's used in the rest of the New Testament. It talks about salvation. So the greatest thing that could happen to him, he's made whole. Yeah, his body was put back together. He was cleansed, and he's all good. But the scripture, it says that he was made whole. All of a sudden, now his whole future's opened up, and he didn't just get a physical touch, but he got a touch at the very core of his soul. You see, being thankful, it can touch us. It can touch us in so many ways. It can touch us in our physical bodies, but it can touch us in our spiritual bodies. It can touch us in our situations. It can do so many things, and it's a part of how we get the abundant life from Jesus. It's why the psalmist says in Psalms 100, verse 4, because we know that thankfulness, it's more than just punching a ticket to heaven from all we've seen. And it's why he says it. He says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You see, you enter into his gates with thanksgiving because the gate is what you had to pass through to get into the temple. And the temple is where the presence of God was. Sometimes when we want to enter into the presence of the Lord, we feel like we're hitting what? We're hitting a wall. This was revelatory to me. When I feel like I'm hitting a wall trying to enter into his presence, you know what the gate is that opens up the doorway into his presence? Thanksgiving. When you keep butting up against it, and you're like, I can't feel him, I can't feel him, I can't feel him, and you've tried everything, stop for a moment and remember this. I can enter into the temple through the gate of thanksgiving. And stop and just begin to thank him for all that he's done in your life. Here's what I know. I get up every morning and take time and try to pray every morning. And I'm not going to be a liar and say I pray every morning. 99 out of 100 mornings I get up and pray. But there are mornings when life happens and you don't. But there are times when I get up and pray and, you know, you go through, Jesus, I love you, thank you for today. And then I move on to my here's what I need you to do for me today. In that moment of thank you, I'm sure he appreciates me saying thank you because I sincerely mean it. I thank you for your love and your mercy. But just this last Saturday morning when we were here for prayer at the beginning of August, I'm walking up and down the aisle over here on that side, and I just really began to think of all the things that I could be thankful for him that he's done. And I just began to say thank you. And I was, thank you for my family. Thank you, Lord, for providing for us. I thanked him for all of you because you make my life so much better. And as I'm thanking him, I felt his presence just come. And it wasn't an emotional thing. It was emotional, obviously, but it wasn't like I'm thinking about horrible situations. But I just felt his presence settle, and I just felt not weepy tears, but just tears start streaming down my face. And then I remembered, and I don't know if it was him reminding me, but I said, thank you for always watching out for us. And then I just said, and thank you for keeping my son safe when he wrecked his car 5 years ago. And when the tow truck driver pulled up and the state trooper pulled up and they said, we thought we were pulling up to a dead person in a car. Jesus, thank you for being so caring for my family. And what I'm saying here is, don't just say, Jesus, thank you for being good. Jesus, thank you for being wonderful. Jesus, but start to thank him for the things he's done in your life. Start recalling those things. Start bringing them to your remembrance. And I guarantee as you do that, that you will enter into his presence. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus, through Christ Jesus. This goes back to what we know that science is now catching up to. Except for, here is the thing, it's not just chemicals in your brain that are releasing that help you think right things and get your brain away from the amygdala and out into the good areas of your brain when it comes to those. But now all of a sudden it allows the peace that passeth all understanding to enter into your life. So often, and we Lord, give us the peace that passeth all understanding. And you know what? He will. But you know how you get the peace that passeth all understanding? Thank you. It's the only way I find it in Scripture. To get the peace that passeth all understanding. Now, it's not the only way we get peace. Thank you. You see why I'm trying to get us to remember this so important thing that we learn as children. Just remember thank you. But don't just remember it for your parents. Did she just say thank you? She is so awesome in this place. You all need to learn from her this morning. Yes. We can all go home now. We're done. Anyways, as we stand, I'm... I have more scriptures and more things to say, but I think I'm done. She stole all my thunder. Dan, you know what? Have her... Will she come up? Have to hop. Come on. Can you tell everybody thank you one time real loud? I can tell you as we've just stood the will of God for your life this morning. It is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and it's very simply this. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, I want you to understand before we we finish. You know, why don't you all come to the front? We're gonna tell him thank you for a couple of moments. Why don't we go ahead and come? Yeah, I don't know if we're gonna sing or not. I want you to see something with this scripture. It doesn't say in everything give thanks because it's happening. It's in everything give thanks. So that means if you're going through the good times, you know what you're supposed to do? Give thanks. If you're going through the really bad times, you know what you're supposed to do? If you're sick, you know what you're supposed to do? If you're broke and you don't have enough paycheck, what are you supposed to do? If you're fighting with somebody you don't know, in everything, give thanks. The reason he says that is because this is meant to walk with you through that time. Remember, we talked about trusting and obeying. As soon as he said, go to the priest, they trusted what he said, then they obeyed him, and it changed their lives. You see, when we give thanks through whatever we're going through, we remember what he's done for us. We remember all of the times that he's touched us. And then that fear and anxiety, because I'm giving him thanks, it has to leave because that part of my brain no longer is going to work. It pushes out to where joy and contentment is. I wish scientists and I wish psychologists and all of the edumacators, they would just read the Bible. They would figure this stuff out. Thank you is a spiritual superpower for your life. And that is what I wanted to tell you today, is you have a spiritual superpower. Thank you. That's it. It's so simple, but it's so powerful. So what we're going to do, I have so many other things I want to say, but it's already 7 after. And again, she already stole my thunder. So we're going to sing this song, and I want you to just tell him thank you. But here's what else I want you to do. Before you go to bed tonight, get out a piece of paper, and I want you to write 5 things you're thankful for that happened this week before you go to bed. Because you know what it's going to do? It's going to help you sleep better, which means you're going to wake up more rested tomorrow. You're going to have a better day at work. You're going to start your week off better. So we're going to sing. We're going to tell him thank you. And as we're singing this, be specific in your thankfulness and tell him thank you for things. But tonight, if you will promise your pastor to do this tonight, will you raise your hand? If you may not do it, don't raise your hand. You don't have to. All right. That's all I have. We're going to sing. Let's tell him thank you.